This is Meet the Movie Press. It's September the 14th on the show this week. Carol's Super Drama and Bat Ham. Candyman Reboot, Reboot, Reboot. And Halloween Horror Nights and Blumhouse Corner. Plus the week's big releases and the box office. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talks, Meet the Movie Press.
Na 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 na, Bat Ham! Welcome to Meet the Movie Press. Dimitri just asked me, did you just say Bat Ham? I did. It's September the 14th, this is Meet the Movie Press. Thank you so much indeed. It's been a four-day week, but what a week it has been. We're all thoroughly exhausted. And can I just say, any of our viewers who are currently suffering this terrible disruption because of the storms on the East Coast, our thoughts are with you this weekend. Please don't do anything stupid. If you are asked to vacate your property, please do go somewhere safe and please take care. And also make sure you have your tablet so when you've got some downtime, you can watch loads of movies the internet is still working.
Make sure you can stream.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get stuck into this straight away. I'm Simon Thompson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ShowbizSimon. There's the Facebook page. This is Simon Thompson. And, of course, you can see my work everywhere from Forbes and E! News and Reuters, so pretty much everywhere right now. And on the show, as usual, is Dimitri. Dimitri.
Hey there.
Welcome back.
It's great to be back.
Who are you and where can we find you?
I'm the player to be named later. No, my name is Dimitri Panos, and you can find me here on Meet the Movie Press, Popcorn Talk Networks, also Anatomy of a Movie.
What are you covering this week?
So we are covering, well, I'll be covering part of the, well, covering The Nun. I will be covering The Nun. They're also going to be doing Peppermint. Unfortunately, due to scheduling, I couldn't see Peppermint. I wanted to.
Yeah. Don't worry. Most moviegoers didn't see Peppermint.
Yeah.
So, there's always VOD. And joining the show for the first time, Kit Bowen.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Now, one big thing we're doing on the show is we're pushing for a lot more diversity across the industry because some of the greatest voices right now, and have been for a long time but unrecognized, are women.
Wait,
and,
what?
I'm a woman.
Yeah, we're getting more diversity on the show.
We're having women on the show now?
Yeah, I'm a woman.
I didn't know that.
So, Kit, for those people who watch the show regularly but don't know your work currently, where can we find you and who do you work with?
Well, I'm a film critic and editor for ScreenPicks.com, mm-hmm. small site that I run, but I've also contributed to Rotten Tomatoes, Fandango, We Live Entertainment, Screen Rant. I've been doing this for about 20 years, film critic. I have a podcast for Screen Picks, so, and follow me at The Movie Kit on Twitter.
Fantastic. At The Movie Kit. We're going to talk about that more
supported
later.
Supported on Twitter at DMovies1701, since we're talking Twitter.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to get through the big box office stuff later on, but there's a lot of news we want to tackle first of all. Yeah. Let's talk about the Henry Cavill out as Superman. I say out.
Is he?
Well, that's the thing. There's also the story that it's an invented conflict, which is a very interesting term. When this news kind of hit midweek this week, what did you guys think about it, Kit, first of all?
I wasn't necessarily surprised because I know that they're sort of thinking about doing a shakeup there anyway. You know, Ben Affleck not doing Batman, maybe, you know, all of that. So I wasn't necessarily surprised. Maybe he wanted to move on. I was like, wow, kind of, because, I mean, he has been playing the part for a while now. Do you know what? To be honest with you, I think that part's cursed. Do you think the Superman part is cursed? Because it's like every time anybody plays it, you know, something like either their career goes down the tubes or they get hurt or whatever the case may be. It's like a cursed part.
And it's strange because cursed is there are certainly a lot of people who played Superman who, poor old Brandon Routh.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I thought he was pretty good.
Right.
It just didn't land well at all. I mean, that wasn't a great movie, but I thought he did a great job. Obviously, Henry now with this, and we all know the DC universe. Even the DC universe, people are saying we've got a problem. So they're doing a big reset right now. And obviously, Christopher Reeve towards the end. I mean, I know it's quite shitty, but Superman 3, I still love. I watched that movie as a kid so many times. Superman 4, do you know what? You kind of love it as a...
No,
you know,
I don't. I kind of don't.
Come on, really? Do you not? There's nothing about that movie that you're like, this is so bad. It's actually quite lovable.
Well,
it's like the fourth Batman with George Clooney. It's like,
it's like the child that so just bad. Keeps trying. Yeah. Just keeps trying. One-legged
quest,
Jimmy.
The quest for peace. Or the quest to try to make a good movie.
I remember that was the first movie that as a
Mark
kid I
Pillow.
Saw it in.
Yeah. It introduced Mark Pillow to audiences. And
very briefly.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing in movie theaters, and that was the very first time as a moviegoer that I literally saw audiences recoil while they watched a movie. They were like, oh. And even as a kid, I was like, oh, my God. They really, yeah, it was dumb fun. I was a kid. But
like Superman, the original, since you brought us here,
yeah.
You know, the tagline was, you will believe a man can fly.
Yeah.
Right. And you did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. By the time they got for Quest for Peace, you will believe that a man could be lifted up on wires because you saw the damn wires.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, there's a brilliant documentary on Netflix, which is about canon.
Yeah.
And it's they did the full Superman movie. That's really worth checking
out. The Go-Go Boys.
Yes.
It's Golan and Glovis.
So good. Yeah. Really worth checking out. A lot of terrible films in there I actually quite love. So let's get back to the topic in hand. Sorry, we got slightly off track there. But Henry Cavill out as Superman. Dimitri.
Well, it's interesting because I remember this news coming out like almost a month ago,
yeah.
And I tweeted it, and it was you that came. Like I said, well, we're going to be talking about this here on Meet the Movie Press, and you said, "No, it's a fake story." It's. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then it comes out again, and I remember tweeting. I think I already commented on this already.
Right. Yeah.
But here's the deal: I've talked about this ad nauseum. DC just doesn't know what the hell they're doing. They seriously don't, because the news when it came out this week. It was because we're focusing on Supergirl. Well, why then can't Superman make a cameo? Like, what are you doing, DC? Mm. Like, seriously, you have, and again, I've said this before, you have no roadmap. Yep. Like, and if you're already going to be retconning things or redoing things, where does that leave Aquaman? Where does that leave The Flash? I go, you know, Henry Cavill is a good Superman.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, how much I liked, you know.
And he's great in action scenes, as we've seen, in Superman and the DC Universe. Yeah. We've seen it in Mission Impossible. Man from Uncle.
Yeah.
Which I'm still pissed we're not seeing a sequel to.
So I
didn't like that one.
He's good as Clark audiences. Kent.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, and the whole thing again with Ben Affleck, it's like I found him to be a decent Batman right? But you were just putting these DC characters in, let's be real, shitty movies.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's not their fault that you're not getting the right scripts. And this is the other thing I just don't understand is DC has a library to mine from. I mean, this is what Christopher Nolan did. He didn't just like pick a story. He would do shots that mimic like Batman Year One or that. He would do all these things. They don't have a roadmap. And again, there's no shame in following Marvel's roadmap. There's no shame in doing that.
I agree. But I just don't think they're... I mean, I think they want to try to be on their... You know, I mean, they don't want to imitate what Marvel's doing. You know, they want to make their own stand. And, in ways they have. I mean, certainly there's been some movies that have been great. It's just they've just been getting knocked down.
Outside of Wonder Woman, what has been great since the Christopher Nolan Batman?
I'm a big fan of Man of Steel, but let's not forget with Chris Nolan, even though I really enjoyed his Batman movies, Batman Begins I wasn't a massive fan of, but I know a lot of people weren't. See, there are people who don't, but then a lot of people didn't like the final Batman movie that he did, and I personally absolutely love that. So whichever way you slice that loaf, Chris Nolan did at least one shitty Batman movie.
Shitty? No, I would disagree about shitty.
I wouldn't say that. Or less than ideal.
You could say
the second one was really the best, I think.
Some people really hated that third one. Second one is hands down.
But I can I can pick apart the second one. Like I can pick that apart too.
Sure.
I think the Christopher Nolan as a trilogy, as a Batman series, I think they really are cut above.
He did.
He really did. And again, it's not that you have to go back to that particularly with Batman.
You shouldn't go back and replicate that.
No.
Because that wouldn't be okay. You can still have... I think there's room. I mean, we've seen a couple of directors take DC characters, especially Superman and Batman, and take them somewhere a little bit darker.
Sure.
But without going... Without replicating the darkness. It's a different kind of darkness. We've seen Tim Burton do it. We've seen Chris Nolan do it. We've seen, whether you like him or not, Snyder do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they've all brought different kinds of darkness, and each of them delicious in their own way. There is another way for DC to tell this dark story.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck it, they do it with Gotham.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a great TV show. I don't watch it as often as I'd like, but there are many ways to slice this dark loaf and come out with something good.
again, they have a wealth of material to mine from. That's and, like, it. I think that fans wouldn't mind, like, excerpts of, like, The Killing Joke. Or even A Year One. Or The Dark Knight Returns. Or just take, like, that's what Marvel does. I mean, it, like, when you have, like, Infinity War, that's not a, an exact panel-for-panel recreation of the comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can do it if they were just smart enough, and I think that it sucks for these actors who really have...
That was going to be my next point. And we'll get to the chat in just a second, because people are very vocal on this. But I think Cavill, if he is out as Superman, obviously it's not a done deal right now. No. There's still a...
He's just saying there's no movies going on, so clearly I'm not being, you know...
But I think it's really... I think the films that he's been in have come in for a lot of flack, but I think him as Superman is something that rarely gets dissed.
Right.
It's true.
Which
actually,
usually...
all the individual performances are rarely dissed.
Yeah,
it's true. It's kind of interesting.
It's together, it's when the cakes finally mixed.
But you know what? I think for Justice League, you know, not the best film either. I mean, I enjoyed it, actually, probably a little more than the rest of them. But I saw potential there.
Mm.
Like, I want to see more movies. Like, they, you know, they had to do all of the, let's all get together and fight, blah, blah, blah. But now that they are all together, I'm curious to see what they can maybe move forward with that one.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I would, if Henry Cavill does leave, I would be very disappointed. I was really looking forward to a second Man of Steel, because I think where he's really been given the platform to play on, I think he's really done it well. I find him very easy to watch.
Yes.
I find his performances are generally very good. You know, I would be disappointed to see him go. People in the chat are talking about this. Sky Patterson, a regular viewer of the show, saying, hello, Kit Bowen. Welcome to Popcorn Talk and Meet the Movie Press.
Hi.
So going down well already. Glamoury saying, hey, all. Hey, how are you? Thank you for your compliment on me hosting. I do appreciate that. Westy Kid saying there was a documentary once talking about the Superman curse.
Yes.
So, yeah, that does actually ring a bell. Sky Patterson saying, I think the Warner Brothers knew what they were getting themselves into when they cast Henry Cavill in the role of Superman. If you don't trust him in the role, why cast him? Same with Ben and Zach. I agree with that.
Totally.
Sky Patterson again saying, remember J.J. Abrams was supposed to be supposed to do Superman Flyby with Henry Cavill back in 2004. And Wesley Kazeng, if Ben Affleck walks, I think John Hamm should take over. He's got dark features like Bruce Wayne. I agree. There's lots of talk on this. Absolutely lots of talk.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back to that again. Straight Edge Vegan Bell.
Hey, how's it going?
Straight Edge back again this week, saying Zac Efron for Superman if Henry is done. Do you know what? I know Zac and I like Zac.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be right for Superman, but I would love... by the way, he's jacked as hell right now. If you follow his Instagram feed, seriously, physically, he's
at a
peak.
Ever since Baywatch, it's like he's become like...
Yeah, but he's slightly down from his Baywatch body, which to me was like, it looked a little bit unreal.
Yes.
And also made me feel very unhealthy.
Sort of like my body.
Looked in the mirror, I'm going to go, I'm not Baywatch, I'm more like a dune.
Like a sand dune?
Not like but I was like, but yeah, so I would like to see Zach in something like Marvel or DC. I don't quite see him as Superman.
I can see him Flash, you know. I mean,
I can see him as Flash.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do this big reset, then there might be room for other people to get recast as well, which is going to be my next thing. We've obviously talked about Supergirl being Warner Brothers' current priority. But if Warner Brothers is looking to reset the DCEU movie universe, do they just clear the decks? Or do they just select roles that they think they want to recast and just do that? And do they do that at the same time? Or do they pace that out over a number of movies? What do you think about that?
I think a clean sweep would not be a good idea.
Okay.
I don't. Because, I mean, you know, like Ezra Miller, who's the Flash now or whatever, he's great. And I want to see more of that. And who knows? Aquaman might be good. You never know. I do like Jason Momoa. I think he's...
I'm going in with an open mind. Right now, it's not selling me, but I'll give it a go.
I know. I'm going to give it a go. And I think Gal Gadot, I think that's how you say her last name.
Yeah.
You cannot get rid of her as Wonder Woman at this point. You know, I mean, that's solid.
It depends on when you want to make this cut.
Right.
I think. Because you got the Joker movie, right? And again,
is that gonna happen?
Well, I mean, that's the question, right? Mm-hmm. So if you do a clean slate, right, you have Wonder Woman. I just say you do everything from the Flash down. I mean, you can't. Aquaman is done. It's coming out in December. We'll see how that does, but you got to keep the core. keep the core Justice League.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to keep Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then everything from there, you can go on. Forget about the Joker movie. Just like, you're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You just do not care about your characters enough that you can give, like, your superheroes good, strong movies and then bring them together. Again, it's a simple page.
But a big weakness for a lot of the Warner Brothers movies, and this happens with a lot of Marvel movies as well, so I'm not just going to rag on DC, is the villains aren't quite strong enough. So maybe if they approach
every
it...
Every once in a while, they get really strong.
But it's infrequent. And I think if they maybe want to look at it from the other way and build from a really strong villain and come at it from rather a hero pick, but going at it from... This is the main player. They're trying to stop that guy rather than they're pushing the villain who's coming that way.
Sure.
That might be the way for them to remedy this. And once they've got that down, actually it helps the quality of films overall and then creates this second universe where you have established villains. Because, you know, in the TV shows and the comics, and a lot of these supervillains, they come back. It's not like they die at the end of a movie. Yeah. And I think if they did that, they would have a much stronger product, potentially.
Yeah.
I agree. But again, like, if you want to bring these characters back, at this point, it was really cool to see in Justice League some Green Lantern action that looked like real Green Lantern action. Green Lantern, I still think, is a viable property.
Yeah.
Right? I think
they just handled it horribly.
They did.
That was just an awful film.
But they handled everything horribly, sadly.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to... They need to gain more focus.
Yeah.
You've got Aquaman coming out. We're going to do a Flash movie. You do a Green Lantern movie.
Yeah.
And then you do one more Justice League movie, bringing the Justice League team in. And that's where you can introduce, like, Martian Manhunter.
Mm. Yeah.
And give those people... Give those supporting roles. Oh, that's who that guy is. And if they're popular enough, you can make a movie for them. Again, it seems you need somebody to roadmap it out.
Yeah.
I think one thing as well, people are saying, we'll come back to you just in a sec, Kit. People are talking that it's, and especially in the chat as well, and this has been mentioned online a few times, that it's potentially a negotiation tactic by Cavill. So if it's not dead, then it's like, I just want my moolah. Even though, potentially, here's a situation where it's like, yeah, we give Henry Cavill more money, but we need the movies to make more money in order to justify that expenditure.
Right.
Which, they kind of go hand in hand, because if you're already wiping your face making a profit with a small P, and you want to make a profit with a big P, sometimes you have to speculate to accumulate. Do they just suck it up and give him more money, if that's the problem? Or do they go, well, let's get the ship righted before we start throwing money around? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, I think they need to get their ducks in the row. I mean, I don't think they have anything right now that they're working on that's, you know...
Supergirl.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's they're concentrating on, which is great. So as far as Henry's concerned, they can say, well, you know, yeah, we'll keep you over here until we get a really good script or something that we really want to, you know, move forward with you, and then we'll see where we're going.
But I agree.
But the villain thing is so key, and you're right. And here's the thing. DC Comics have some of the best villains ever.
They've got some of the best characters in comics ever.
I mean, it's so... There's so many great bad guys. So it's like, you know, they should make a bad guy movie, you know, a villain movie.
Here's another question for you as well. Obviously, Warner have found very, sort of, very profitably and sort of publicly and critically as well, that actually it was a female-led movie, Wonder Woman, that really, really resonated with the widest of their audiences and really proved to be creatively and economically that their best bet. If they're looking now and concentrating at Supergirl, are they making a slight mistake, and is it slightly not entirely well judged that they go, let's do lots of female focused superhero movies, because we do need more female representation in the comic book universe front and center, rather than help me lady character super lady man. Are they making a little bit of a mistake to go, okay, well, let's not put the boys at the front now and let's just concentrate on female characters? Is that a misstep, or is it a good idea?
I think it's the way the studios always go, right? They always like, oh, shiny penny, let's go, let's do that, you know. It's like,
is shiny penny a DC character? She should be.
Wonder Woman did so well, let's do more woman stuff. You know, I mean, I hate that.
Copper Batman.
I don't know why they have to be like that. It's like they're reactive rather than being proactive.
Right. But the thing is, too, when you talk about Wonder Woman, right? Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne had a cameo in that. And in fact, it was more or less the bookend of the movie.
Right.
Yeah. I'm assuming that there is no Ben Affleck Bruce Wayne cameo in this Wonder Woman at all to bookend or whatever.
No.
But like, they can do it smart. You can do another Man of Steel movie where you kind of introduce Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then she gets her own movie. Or if you're going to do Supergirl, there should be no reason why Supes doesn't show up at some capacity.
Supes should show up.
Hey, I'm here for you. If you ever need it,
yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah.
All you have to do is call your family, right? And it doesn't have to be a big role. It doesn't mean that he has to come to her rescue.
Mm.
It could be, you did good today, kid, and I'm here, though.
Right.
I just want you to know we are family, and you can come by anytime. Fly by anytime.
Yeah. One other thing, we will move on from this.
I've never watched the show, though. Have you guys watched the show?
Krypton.
No.
Supergirl.
I watched
Krypton's actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Muppet Babies, Superman.
Yeah, I watched Supergirl. I watched it. I haven't kept up with it because I sort of agree with what Howard Stern said. It's like, she's so powerful, but she gets her ass kicked like every week. Like, how does this even happen? It's like, so, you know, and I like Melissa Benoit, I believe is her name. I think that she's good in the role. But again, you've got what is relatively a popular show in the CW. Sometimes if it's so ingrained, people expect that television show to be your movie, but it's not.
A lot of people in the chat, Zeno, are saying, I understand why Warner Brothers is cautious about Superman. The character can be difficult with a subpar story, and I think that's a real problem here.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Man of Steel worked, because that set up the backstory, and it had a decent villain. However, not actively developing a new Superman movie is inexcusable. I think so, too. I think that's a misstep.
Agreed.
Jody Petrella saying, Simon, if you remember, they don't want the TV series and movies to overlap, so maybe because there is talk of a Superman TV series, that is why there is no movie. Same with Flash and Supergirl. Well, we know Flash and Supergirl are being developed as movies, and obviously you do need to have Superman in the DC movies. He's still an iconic draw. But we'll see what happens there. And also, they do like to keep them separate. They keep the actors separate. They keep the story separate. So they do that concurrence.
But I don't know if you're aware, too, but there is a very popular run of Batman Superman comics. Okay. And again, you want to do something different? There's no reason why you can't. And I'm not talking Batman versus Superman. I'm talking Batman Superman movies.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, that's something that Marvel really isn't doing. They're not like Iron Man this.
Right.
And like, they only do it when there are the Avengers or like in a Captain America movie. There was a fantastic run of Green Lantern and Green Arrow together. Like, there's no reason why you can't mine this.
Yeah.
And I think that there would be great box office.
It's a conversation that I think is going to continue for months and months and months. One more thing in the chat.
I hope DC's listening because we've got some really great ideas.
Seriously,
here.
I'm like, give us a call. Sky Patterson in the chat. I'm just going to read one more thing about DC, then we're going to move on because we've got a lot to talk about. Sky Patterson in the chat saying, film idea, let Patty Jenkins direct a standalone Superman film with Henry Cavill, Hamada and Chris Nolan producing. Taylor Sheridan and Jane Goldman scripting. War of the Worlds meets American Snyder. I think Sky just had a little bit of a nerd orgasm there. A nerdgasm. That was quite a list.
I would check your computer.
Jesus. That's not a movie. That's a wet dream. That's incredible.
It's like the superpowers.
Talking of dreams, a lot of talk this week of Michael B. Jordan being considered for the new Superman if Henry Cavill hangs up his cowl.
I think it should be Idris Elba.
Well, it's like, name any black actor. I mean, Michael B. Jordan, would be really good.
Yes.
He would give a great performance.
Yes.
Do you think audiences would accept that? Do you think it would... How would they build it in that it's... That
how would they
he looks
make
different?
It in that he
looks... That he's black.
That he's black, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know. I don't think people would handle it all that well, to be honest with you. I think, you know, the character of Batman is so entrenched, you know, and Bruce Wayne and whatnot. Not to say that we can't switch it on, you know, to flip it on its head, but I would personally love to see Michael B. Jordan.
I don't care. I mean, I know Superman's predominantly been, well, has been always white. Is there like a new Superman in any of the comics where he's not white?
Not white. I can only recall that after the death of Superman, There were four supermen who came to Earth, but I forget. I forget the race and nationality.
Because I don't know if there's anything that would.
Narratively? It's not Superman, right? He's not Batman. Sorry, he'd be a good Batman too. Sorry,
he would be a great Batman.
I meant Superman. Sorry, brother.
But yeah, no. If Michael B. Jordan was considered for the new Superman, I think he would do an amazing job. I just don't know if.
I think
it'll be overshadowed.
All I'm going to put down there is the Josh Trank Fantastic Four and the controversy that built by having an African-American Storm, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And like this, how did that, like that caused so unnecessary, such
maybe
unnecessary
he's like,
mayhem.
This is more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
As much as I would like to put on the cloak, meowty.
Meowty.
Not doing this one. Gonna pass on this one.
I do. I think that these characters are so, like I said, so, you know, ingrained.
And that was Fantastic Four. Four people saw the movie. And, you know,
and then everybody else complained
about
it. And they didn't say it was fantastic.
I don't understand why they can't get that right.
I don't understand
either.
You know what? And then the first two have been on cable a lot lately.
Yeah.
And I've been watching them. And I'm going to go, Maria Menounos is actually in one. She has a great scene with Chris Evans. But I go, you know what? These movies are sort of fun.
Interesting point on this before we move on. Glamoury, I don't think fanboys will miss a movie because of the character's color, i.e. Black Panther. I don't think they would miss a film because of the character's color. I think some people might struggle with someone of color in a role that they believe to be the same way we have with other characters like Bond. I don't think people would not... I don't know. I don't think they'd go and see it because they're not see it because they're racist. They just don't like black people. Because if you don't like black people, you kind of can't leave your house and you can't watch TV. Otherwise, you must be in like a constant point of fury. But I do think a lot of people around the movie, it would potentially overshadow. And I think when it is Superman, where's a character that comes from a planet and is, you know, Kal-El, I think then to change the color of a character like that. But I think potentially with things like Bond, where
Bond,
007 is a license to kill, and yes, the character is James Bond, but you could slightly potentially narratively work in something to make that work more
effectively. Sure, and let's, you know, regarding color and or sex too, let's not forget that Doctor Who this year
has
become the first woman.
So yeah, yeah.
It's going to be very fascinating. My thing is, I think it's going to be huge for BBC America ratings when it debuts in October.
Personally, I don't mind because
I don't mind at all.
This is not real.
Right. Exactly.
It's not like you're saying, let's have someone Chinese to play Nelson Mandela. You know? I mean, we do make a lot of things about this whitewashing stuff, which is absolutely right. There are plenty of Asian actors to play Asian roles and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if you give me a black Superman and it's a great movie, I'm not going to dislike it because Superman's black.
Right.
No,
that's not going to bother me.
No.
I'll bother if you don't make a good movie. That'll be my problem.
Exactly.
Okay, talking of characters who happen to be of color, a Candyman remake as we delve deeply into Blumhouse Corner this week.
Every single week
we talk about Blumhouse.
They seem to be
one of the most active companies in production right now. TVs, movies, everything. So, a Candyman remake could be coming from Jordan Peele, obviously an alum of Blumhouse. I love the Candyman movies. When I was working in a movie theater as a kid, Candyman was, I'd say teenager, Candyman was one of the movies that came in, and nobody at the time really knew about this horror movie with Tony Todd, who wasn't really like a known name. And people went insane for this movie, and it's now a truly, truly iconic horror movie, one of my favorite horror characters ever. Looks like Jordan Peele could be involved in a remake. This genuinely excites me. And I'm on the fence or cautious about remakes, but yes, please.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
100%. I mean, clearly Jordan Peele has has an affinity for her, and I think he loved it. I'm sure he loved the first Candyman movie too. I'm sure if you talk to him, he'll say
he probably liked it a lot too, even though he didn't do anything. He probably liked that movie too.
I'm just saying though, if you got a chance to talk to him about Get Out, you know, he talked about growing up watching these movies in the theater and, you know, and how watching it with an African-American audience, you know, they all stood up and they're yelling at the screen and that kind of stuff. So he clearly that's something close to his heart. So, yeah, 100% he could do this.
Yeah.
It's a character worth rebooting. You bring up, I think, a very valid point. A, it would need a Tony Todd cameo or some semblance. Who would play the guy?
Yeah.
I mean, you would.
Because that's the scariest part about that movie.
Yeah.
It
was that.
It was him.
And someone, I've mentioned him in connection with a number of roles recently on the show, and actually someone tweeted Meet the Movie Press and me this morning off the back of something we've talked about before to do with the discussion we had about Blade the other week.
Right.
And I absolutely think that the person who would be great if they didn't bring Tony Todd back as Candyman, Sterling K. Brown.
Oh,
yeah.
Because
he's like everywhere right now.
Or like an Idris Elba, because you would need someone, you would have to have someone of color.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole genesis of the character. So that's not really up to negotiation. It has to be someone who's certainly not white. You have to have someone that has the physical stature.
They have to be imposing.
Yeah, they have to, but not in a like a broad way, but just a physically high way. And I really see that Sterling K. Brown, who is a tall man, and Tony Todd, who I just think would be perfect.
Did you mean Idris Elba or Tony Todd?
Tony Todd. Tony Todd would be great to bring back. Yeah. But if you're going to recast, Idris Elba I think would be great, and I think Sterling K. Brown would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, you got like the likes of Mahershala Ali.
Sure.
I mean, who again meets
the
ethnicity and matches the physical aspect of the character. You know,
what Tony Todd brought to that role, he brought the physical, but he was truly scary.
Yeah.
He had the timber of the Candyman. And it was the way that he talked.
Yeah.
I was genuinely scared to do that.
I know.
I thought, oh, I'll do it. And I was like, fuck it.
No.
That's why, you know, I think Idris, if he were up for it, could be really good.
Here's the problem, though. I think they may have to go new. I think they may have to find somebody untapped. Because maybe, you know, Idris, and they're already set in what they do. Like, Sterling K. Brown would be great, but, you know, he's also the sweet guy on This Is Us. So, you know, it's like...
But he's also the asshole in The Predator.
Yes! I thought he was one of the best parts of that movie.
We'll talk about The Predator later. But yeah, I mean, I've only seen him play nice guys.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to see him play someone who is a massive douche.
Yeah.
And convincing as a douche.
Called acting.
Yeah.
And when they can do that.
He literally chewed the scenery, you know? Yeah. He was chewing a lot in the movie. He had, like, gum in his mouth the whole time.
But I was like, genuinely, as a character, I was like, oh my God, I hate you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's quite difficult these days. You don't get that visceral response. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think he'd be great. I mean, another person who physically doesn't have the thing, but if they want to go younger, Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh, yes.
Could be great.
You know, he was...
I like that.
Well, he's going to be in a movie where he... Oh, he's in Widows.
Yeah,
yes,
he is.
He plays a bad guy in that,
plays a bad guy, and he looks menacing in that.
Yeah,
dude,
with
that's
the smile. The smiling bad guys are always the ones that keep me up.
That's a good one. And someone, he could do that could too.
Someone in a similar vein who I think, again, is younger but has the physical aspects that you need is Winston Duke from Black Panther.
Yes. Right.
He's kind of
on the fringe there, so he would.
Yeah,
be
I think
good
he
too,
would
yeah.
be. I think he'd be really, really good, right. And yeah. you'd have him for a couple of movies. You know, yeah. he's at that age. He doesn't have. He's in a franchise, but he's not the person that you most associate with the franchise.
Right.
You know that audiences have responded very well to him in previous roles. Right. He would be cheaper, one would assume. Also, he has an amazing voice.
Yes.
Winston's voice is tremendous in his presence. I think Winston Duke would be a really good option
for
Candyman.
Yeah, sure. It's a good one.
So
again, you just need a cameo by Tony Todd.
Yeah, you have to.
He doesn't have to be Candyman. But be in the movie in one way, shape, or form. It's like
have him be killed.
If you were remaking, maybe he's the investigating officer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Why not? Like, if you were doing like a remake of Pumpkinhead, you need Lance Henriksen to come back.
Yes.
Same thing here. You need
he will do it.
Todd.
He will do it.
Sure,
Lance
would.
Will do it. But also one other suggestion, if they do decide to recast the lead, which they realistically probably will do, John David Washington from Black Klansman.
Yep.
Denzel Washington's
son. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
he's a little wiry, though. I think
he is a little wiry, but you can.
I like the Winston Duke. With the...
Well, I like Winston Duke too, but the I always forget his name, and I know I mean no disrespect, but the gentleman that was in the first Purge, who was the gangster who became more or less the anti-hero, who saved everybody.
Oh, the guy that they take off. He comes running up to the door, and they let him in. That guy.
He's the main gangster guy. And he comes into the apartment building.
In the first, not the first.
That's third. What I was thinking.
I know.
Sorry, my bad. I'll get to
Halloween Horror Nights in a second, but I literally, I was.
My best mate, who's overstaying with me at the moment,
he'd not seen any of the Purge movies. So we were talking about last night. We genuinely had this conversation. It was like, who's on first? Who's on second? And he was like, do you want to watch the first Purge? That's not out yet. No, the first Purge. Do you mean the Purge? Yes, the first Purge. What do you mean the first Purge? It's not out. Do you have the first Purge? I don't have the first Purge. Do you have the first Purge? And he was like, no, the original Purge movie. The Purge.
I meant the first Purge movie that just came out earlier this summer.
That gangster guy. You know the guy I was talking about? Yes, he would be really good too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he had a really great, I was impressed by the cast
of
that movie.
Yeah.
I really liked them. And he was a good gangster guy, and he played a good anti-hero, and he did the action really well. Yeah, he can kick ass.
Okay, a couple of things in the chat. We've got a load of other stuff to get through as well. So much to talk about on the show today, and we're already halfway through. At this reset point in the show, halfway through, let's just remind everybody who you are. Kit, first of all, who are you, and where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at The Movie Kit on Twitter. I'm currently doing a weekly podcast on Screen Picks, and I've been doing this for a while. So.
And Dimitri, and I'm here at Meet the Movie Press and also Popcorn Talk Network's Anatomy of a Movie. And you can support me on Twitter at dmovies1701.
And I'm Simon Thompson. You can find me at Showbiz Simon on Twitter and Instagram. Also, there's a Facebook page, This is Simon Thompson, where I post a lot of my work from many of my outlets. And also, if you want to follow this show, we now have a Twitter account, which is great. We're going to have an Instagram soon. That is at Meet Movie Press, at Meet Movie Press. So if you tweet any of us, please include that. Spread the word. We really appreciate it. We're growing slowly, but we really appreciate it, and thank you so much. And of course, if you like the show, don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and tell everybody about it. The more people in this conversation, the better.
Yes.
Because that's what film is about. Community.
Community.
The word of the day is community. Let's get back to Candyman before we move on to Halloween Horror Nights and Blumhouse proper. Sky Patterson saying a Candyman remake with Jordan Peele producing with Universal Blumhouse. Yes, please, in caps. Jodie Petrella saying, I wonder if Jason Blum is being typecast as the horror movie go-to guy. I actually referred to him in my piece on Forbes this week, we'll get to in a second, as the scary godmother.
Yes.
Hollywood scary godmother, which I think...
Yeah, you get a high five on
thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah. I was very pleased with that. And Idris Elba is charismatic and a brilliant actor. Sterling K. Brown has got great screen charisma as well from Westy Kid. Xeno Hour saying, Simon, I think the new Candyman movie should take place shortly after his death. Lakeith Stanfield should be considered. Another good casting suggestion.
So wait, really good. Shortly after his death, like after...
The death that, when he was a slave
when
he was burnt.
Slave and he was burnt. Yeah, that's
so do that.
Not
so that would be quite cool. That would work. And again, you'd have someone quite youthful who I think you could then carry a franchise through for a couple of years. Also, from Sky Patterson, movie idea, all caps.
Here we go.
A Candyman remake with Mahershala Ali in the lead, Barry Jenkins directing and scripting, Jordan Peele and Jason Blum executive producing, The Strangers Meets the Haunting. I don't know, I think that might be a little bit too
you had me
little bit
when
too
you said Strangers Strangers movie. But
Jodie's saying I think Jason Blum should do a romantic comedy to see if he can do something other than being known as the horror go-to guy.
I disagree.
Well, yeah, also,
he's
but I was
done
say,
drama. He did Black Klansman.
He did Black Klansman. Don't forget Blumhouse produced the Drumming movie. Didn't they do Miles Teller was in it.
Oh, Whiplash.
They also did the Jet movie that horribly bombed. Gem and the Holograms, Gem and the Holograms. So they have done
Swing
movies.
And a miss there, but
they've done movies that are not all horror.
They go
horror.
Outside of the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is that when they go outside of the wheelhouse... People, they don't see that it's a Blumhouse movie. Like, they don't notice.
Yeah.
So it goes right under the radar. And then so when you see a movie like Black Klansman and you see Jason Blum's name, there you go.
Well, really interesting, actually. That exact thing happened. My wife has always, she's not a horror fan, and she's always discounted watching Blumhouse movies because she's like, they're horror movies.
Yeah.
But when she saw Black Klansman, she was like, oh, Blumhouse. Oh, okay. What other stuff are there? And I was like, blah, 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 blah. So she's like, oh, okay, well, maybe watch that. And last night she came home and we're watching The Purge the original Purge movie. and she was like, oh, okay, that doesn't look like a horror. I was like, no, because The Purge is fundamentally a drama. It's a home invasion, not a straight horror.
Yeah, it's a thriller.
So it's a thriller. Yeah. I would say The Purge movies are not necessarily horror,
yeah,
but I would say they're more thriller with horrific elements to it.
Yes.
But we're back to the Get Out, is that a horror thing or not debate as well, which, I mean, there's that one. But as we enter Blumhouse Corner, Blumhouse Corner, may I just say to everybody, happy Halloween, because Halloween officially starts today with the opening night of Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Studios Orlando. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Me too.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Well, here's a little tidbit. Yeah. My daughter actually works for Universal Theme Park. She works for Harry Potter World.
Ah, okay.
And she got to go last night to their preview.
They did have some star previews, yeah.
Yeah, she got to go. She said it's fantastic.
Awesome.
She said the Poltergeist Maze is the best.
Yeah, well, I went behind the scenes last week because I did an interview with Jason Blum, which is on Forbes currently, and I was beyond tickled pink this week that not only Jason retweeted the article, and it was picked up by a number of other sites, so shout out to Slash Film as one that picked it up and gave me credit, so thank you. It's always good to do that. But also then Blumhouse Productions retweeted Jason's tweet about my article on Forbes, which is great. So in that we discuss a number of things,
and
including...
And then little old me retweeted each one.
And it was good. You said you were very proud of me, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. That was very kind of you.
I'm very proud about what you've accomplished, and like we've built this Blumhouse Corner into a bit, so I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, I am. No, seriously,
thank you.
When
I appreciate
it gets picked
that
up by Forbes, and then when Jason Blum himself retweets it in such a positive way, and then Blumhouse does that, dude, kudos.
Thank you.
Seriously, kudos. That's a big deal.
I hear he's a great... I've never had a chance to talk to him yet.
He's great.
I just hear he's fantastic.
He's wonderful. I'm seeing him again tonight, actually, at the launch event, which is great. So, again, I'm going to be publishing some stuff on Forbes after that, so over the next couple of days, going to be interviewing... Jamie Lee Curtis?
Really? Ooh, who's
Jamie
that?
Lee Jamie Curtis. Lee Curtis. You might have,
yeah,
might have
rings
heard
a
of
bell.
Her.
What movies was she in?
She was in Hocus Pocus, I believe.
Really?
She was in that.
That's one, yeah.
She was in Friday the 13th.
She was.
She was in that.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yes. She's done quite a few things. No, she's amazing, so I'm very excited about talking to her. I haven't seen Halloween yet.
I can't wait to hear
Jason
Blum's
going to be there. The cast of Stranger Things are going to be there. The cast of Walking Dead are going to be there. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Are they still doing Walking Dead, though?
It's a permanent one.
It's a permanent attraction.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. So they're all going to be there. It's a really, really seriously top class. Slash is going to be there tonight, which is great. So that's really cool. But yeah, so Halloween Horror Nights opens tonight. But when I interviewed Jason behind the scenes last week, we had a really good conversation about sort of the influence of the Blumhouse model on filmmaking. We talked about the Blumhouse's relationship with Halloween Horror Nights, how they decide what mazes are going to be there and what films are going to be picked up. We talked about the fact that Halloween, Blumhouse's Halloween, isn't there this year. Jason was saying that they tried to make it happen. Mm-hmm. They decided not to do it. And next year, they're looking at having the Blumhouse Halloween maze. They have the Horrors of Blumhouse again this year, which is good. And there's the first time the first Purge, has its own maze there. Usually it's a scare zone, so that's a big step forward. Shows how strong that franchise is. We'll talk about that. We also talk about the... what we discussed on the show recently about them wanting to pick up Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer. Right. And we talk about Halloween sequels as well, which is great. So there's a lot of stuff in that article. I had 8 minutes. So I got a lot in there.
And I can kind of understand.
Thank God he talks quickly. I was really, really appreciative of that.
Yeah, did you even take a breath?
I had no time. Held it. 8 minutes. I could do it.
Yeah, that's great. You should play Creature from the Black Lagoon with the way you can hold your breath like
that.
Hey,
when are they going to make that?
Rico Browning. Well,
Monsters for the first time, and this is something that the creative director of Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, John Murdy, has been trying to do for years and years and years. And every single time I would talk to him, he was like, I want to do the Universal Monsters. Finally, this year, he had an idea to make it work. He's done it, and it has a soundtrack specially created. Each character in the maze has a soundtrack specially created by Slash from Guns N' Roses.
That's great.
So it's a pretty unique, and it's more of an it's effectively become a bit more art than just scaring the poop out
of
you.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, they used to have like a Universal Classic maze that was usually there all year round.
Yeah.
But going back to the Halloween, in a sense too, I can understand why you wouldn't do the Blumhouse Halloween, since Universal Horror Nights officially opens tonight.
Yeah.
Very jealous that you're going. They may not. You know, the maze may give "quote unquote" spoilers to a movie that hasn't quite released.
Well, that's something. Well, the Insidious Last Key last year, they did basically bits from various Insidious movies, and then because the movie was due to come out around the same time and it got delayed to the January, so they were like, "Well, fuck it, we're still in." You know, we've already agreed to do the maze, so that came out, and that did actually a couple of things in the movie. It did give a few things away, but with the first Purge, there are actually things in that maze. I spoke to John about this, and I'm publishing that interview next week. There are things that were in the original script that didn't get committed to film that actually they're actually bringing to life, especially and exclusively for the maze.
That's going to be cool.
So there are elements of the movie, plus there are things that we haven't seen before. There's a brilliant scene with mannequins involved in there, which is going to be unique to this. Yeah. People in the chat saying there's going to be a Shining maze. That was last year. They haven't redone that, but that was amazing if you had a chance to check that out. So Westy Kid, isn't there also a snowy maze for The Shining? That was last year. Westy Kid, Jamie Lee Curtis! I know. It's amazing. Scott Boswell saying, perfect. That
perfect. That was
in Perfect. She was.
John Travolta.
Yeah, I remember that movie. Well. Poltergeist Maze, Westy Kid. Yes, James Patterson, Poltergeist Maze is going to be lit.
Yeah, Apparently it is.
Actually for all of their mazes.
It's so strong. Last year I thought they couldn't beat it, but this year is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Basically Poltergeist was one of the mazes I was given the chance to look around.
Really?
And I turned it down. Because as excited as I am about that maze, I want to go in there blind. I want to go in there.
You want to go in there with full bells and whistles, man. Look,
I'm taking spare pants tonight. Because I'm going to poop mine, you know, and I'm going to be proud of it.
Just.
I love it.
Depends, buddy. Depends.
Depends. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, can I ask you a question? So when they offered you to take this like sneak peek, was it in daylight? Like,
it's in daylight. Maze?
Yeah.
But the maze itself too, where the lights were going to be on?
No. It's basically, it's all in daylight and it's all open without all the effects and stuff like that.
But
the
thing is, that's no fun.
Well, I've also done that a previous years before, and as much as I really enjoy the behind the scenes and how these things work, when you go through these mazes, the best thing is to do, and I think it's great that you get offered the chance to, even sometimes online outlets, they get to go, oh, here's the scenes from this. It does change the experience you have. So I would really suggest, if you're going to go to Halloween Horror Nights, do not look at any of the content beforehand of what is in the mazes. Go into them blind. I always have the best experiences in the mazes that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
So I pick one that I know is going to be good and it's still going to give me frights, but really original stuff. Like last year, I went behind the scenes of The Shining House, and that was really amazing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of spoiled the experience for me. I knew what was coming. And then the year before, I did The Exorcist House, which again was brilliant, but I kind of knew all the tricks that were going to happen. So I was kind of like, I was a little bit bummed. So So go in there.
And like I said, I think this year is like really strong. So correct me if I'm wrong. So we've got Stranger Things already knocked off. You got Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Which makes so much sense.
Another one that John has been trying to get.
Can't wait. Halloween 4, which I hear they do. Dwight Little, the director, who also did Free Willy. Sort of weird. Free Willy, Halloween 4. In any case,
Free Willy would make a terrible maze at Halloween.
Unless he ate you.
Maybe if an orca just jumped over you in the Halloween 4.
Could happen. No. But he talked about the Halloween 4 maze, and he was impressed at the detail that they had in certain particular scenes.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. It sounds like such a strong lineup.
I will watch that every single time it's on.
Yeah.
I will, and it still scares. But I mean, it that's another one that is scary, but at the same time, it combines so many different, you know, things, and you laugh, and you,
I love it.
Did we all saw the first Purge, not the original Purge, the first Purge?
I did see the first Purge.
So while I was watching that movie, did you get the same sense that I did? Like, the kids walking down the street and people with those contacts that glow in the dark, and I'm like going...
Super creepy.
Yeah, I'm like... that lends itself to a maze. Like having those
I'm contests. Sure that's what he'll be running around.
Super jealous. Well, I can't wait.
If you want to read the article, it is up on Forbes. Go ahead and check that out. That's
great. And you're writing another one
with John Murdy, which is coming out next week. I've got one that I'm doing with people on the red carpet tonight. I just ask them like all about three questions and we get through that.
Can't
so that's going to go up over the weekend as well, which is great. And I'll be seeing Jason again. But obviously, do read the article. If it's good enough for Jason Blum, certainly good enough for you.
It is.
So check
it
out.
What I love about Jason Blum, though,
is
that he's super smart, clearly.
Yeah.
And super successful, but he pairs himself up with really good directors.
He does. He lets them do what they want to do.
I think the whole M. Night collaboration with him of course, it brought him back up again, you know. But, and I've always loved him. You know, he's had some bad ones, but I still love it.
People are suggesting, Jody's suggesting movie idea. Simon stars in a Blumhouse movie as a film critic who characters from movies he's given bad reviews to try to attack him. That's kind of like Trolls Online,
I was
going to
say, but wasn't that the Deadpool, the Dirty Harry movie?
Yeah. And another idea from Scott Boswell, another idea, The House on Blum Corner, where Simon has to leave behind the Blumhouse monsters to grow up and become a film critic. I think people are basically saying that I need to grow up.
Yes.
And I was birthed by monsters. Sky Patterson saying, I would love to see Blumhouse Productions take on Dark Universe, rebrand it Universal Hello Universal Horror, lower budget, hard R gothic thriller films, A-list talent included.
Yeah.
Could be good. That good was something idea. I didn't get to talk to Jason about, but I am talking to him about
and,
tonight.
And we talked about that last week about Dark, about him taking over. It'd be a great idea. A
couple of things I want to touch on. We mentioned this at the top of the show, and then we're going to do movies because we only have 10 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about John Hamm saying he'd like to be Batman, going back to DC briefly. What do you guys think about that?
Okay, now it is Batman, right? Not Superman. Okay,
yes.
I think he'd be great. I mean, he's got the looks. He's got the charming part. Because, I mean, I think what I loved about Ben Affleck's characterization the most is his Bruce Wayne. Because, he's sort of, he's older, he's grizzled, he's what, how he portrayed that sort of character in that way. I still hate the whole Batman voice, though.
Batman.
And, but I loved him as Bruce Wayne, and I think John could totally pull that off.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'd have the physical presence, and I think he'd have that smoldering Bruce Wayne element. Yeah. I think, to me, he'd have everything. I think he'd be a great choice.
I think he makes a great Robin. We've got to have Kevin Hart as Robin. Oh, good God.
Gotta have that.
Would you stop?
Why cracking
stop.
Robin?
Be quiet.
Come on.
Stop hey, right
you
now.
You wouldn't watch that?
I
would totally watch that.
No. I've got nothing against Kevin Hart. No. Quiet. Somebody might be
David Spade's available. That's the alternative.
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron!
This is
right?
Oh my God.
Right?
Wow.
You're coming back, Kit.
Okay.
Great ideas like that. Good call.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're not entirely convinced by John Hamm?
No. I actually am because I think, a lot of people don't take stock that the important role is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And when you look at the people who have been most popular, Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, and even Ben Affleck, right? They can play a good Bruce Wayne because Bruce Wayne has to be sympathetic. He has to pretend he's a playboy.
Right.
And sometimes it's a tough line. That's a tough line to walk. They did it really well. I think John Hamm can pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
He can easily pull off being rich, obnoxiously rich.
Mm.
And I think under the cowl, he's got this, the square enough jaw.
Yeah, he'll get jacked too for that.
Yeah. But I just wonder. And again, I think he'd be great. Do you want to go a little younger? I mean, I don't know where in the universe they're rebooting all of this. This is my biggest problem.
The kid who plays him on Gotham, maybe he should.
Maybe he should do that. Do you want to cross the streams?
I think the kid.
Create a flux continuum.
I'm blanking on the kid's name, but I think he does a great job.
Yeah.
As Bruce in this.
No, that kid does a really good job. But yeah, I think John Hamm would be great. You need. Look, whoever fills the role. You need a good story.
Yeah.
You need a good story first and then get a half-decent director.
To-do list.
Story. Then story again.
And then
if you're still not convinced, story and then a director who knows how to direct a story.
Zeno Hour agrees that Kevin Hart is a good idea, but as Superman and Batman. I'm on for that. Okay, we've got 6 minutes on the show. We need to get through.
Kevin wants to do it.
Let's talk about the big release. Okay, Mandy comes out this weekend. Nick Cage's new movie. I got sent a screener on this. That's mental.
it's absolutely, pardon
my French, but fucking bananas. But it seriously is worth watching. I mean, it's just... it's insane.
So it's based off the Barry Manilow song?
It is based off the Barry Manilow song, yeah. Which is why it's so crazy.
It's wacky.
But yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It's really, really insane. I don't think it'll do a lot of box office, but I think it's worth checking out. Lizzie is another one that comes out this week, a smaller movie that is definitely worth checking out. I was really impressed.
I was impressed, too. It's this slow burn build thing, and it really, and that ending, too, you're like, you know, you want to... I thought both performances by Chloe and Kristen were amazing.
Yeah, if you can find that, do check
that
out.
So you give it 50 wax?
41.
There's a joke there that I'm not even going to make. White Boy Rick is out this week. $575,000 in previews last night, looking at a weekend of 8.6. Going to be in the top 10, but only just. I didn't sadly get to see this, but I do want to watch it. I did see it, yeah.
Matthew McConaughey is quite good in this. You know, I mean, it's funny because it's kind of it's billed as this sort of true crime story or whatnot, but it's really a family drama at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's about him and it's about he has a single dad, you know, trying to raise these two kids and, you know, and having them go off the rails that they do. So, yeah, I thought it was really good.
You would definitely recommend it? Like,
yeah,
on a scale of 5?
I would absolutely recommend it because of McConaughey, you know. We were talking about that recently. It's like he's decided that he no longer has to be pretty. No longer has to be pretty. He has a mullet.
All right. Yeah. Also out this week, A Simple Favor, which I didn't get to see.
But I did get sent a
cocktail making kit.
I saw.
I'll tell you what, I'd prefer to have seen the movie. But thanks.
I heard it's really good. Like Hitchcock kind of feel to it. So yeah.
People are saying kind of Gone Girl-ish. Is it like that?
I didn't see it either. I think it kind of, Paul Feig, who directed it, he combines sort of the comedic aspects that he's really good at, plus the thriller aspects.
I want to see it. I think it's been criminally underserved, sort of editorially, and I think as well, marketing-wise, but I really hope it does well.
Previews, I think they just don't know how to market it. That's the thing.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, sure.
I actually saw A Simple Favor last night. There's a nurse in the booth. I saw A Simple Favor last night, and I thought it was really well done. Great acting, and it had a perfect balance of suspense / thriller-esque with actual dark comedy and humor. So I think they did a great job. Marketing, I can see why it's difficult to market because there are plot twists in it and you don't want to give it away. But the appeal of Paul Feig and Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively, it sells itself.
And those talking of selling itself, I mean, yeah, those two are very popular female actors. And I think just actors, as they're also known, not female actors. They're two popular females and actors. And I think that alone would have been two really good. Without even mentioning Paul, those would have really been two good ways to sell it.
But
it just doesn't appear that.
Yeah, they've been out and about being super cute together. So it helps
it doesn't a lot. Really, it hasn't really cashed in. But I've heard a lot of positive things about it. Also out this weekend, The Predator is probably the big release this weekend. 2.5 million in previews, which is kind of down on movies that come out of this time of year by about a million. Looking at a weekend of 29 million, this is quite considerably below what they were looking at as projections a couple of weeks ago. That was 40, potentially 50 in some tracking areas. This is a lot less than that. A lot of mixed reviews, a lot of bad reviews. I personally didn't have a massive problem with the movie. I thought it was fine. I thought there were bits that I didn't like. There were people I really didn't think I was going to like who I really thought was great.
Yeah.
Boyd, I thought, was great in the lead role. I was not expecting him to do that. I liked the gore. I thought the gore was great. I think it was chopped together. I don't think the editing was great. And I didn't really like the end of the movie. No spoilers. But I thought the final act kind of really didn't do it for me. There's a big battle. It could have been different. Could have been better. And I think the final ending of the movie, I didn't really like where that went. That just kind of left me with a... I'd like to see more, but I'm like, I don't know about that ending.
It was way too convoluted, too. Yeah. It was just too many things going on.
Should have kept it simple.
And it didn't you know, match up. So all of a sudden, you know, she's here, and then all of a sudden she's like on top of a mountain. It's like, you know, it's just nothing kind of matched up, and they would
Now I know there's a mountain in the movie, damn it!
I think the mountain was in the trailer.
It wasn't in the trailer. God, a mountain!
But there are individual moments in it that are really quite good, and I think, you know, Shane Black's banter is one of the bigger draws.
Well, but it was a Fred Decker, his buddy, who wrote it. As a Shane Black fan, as a Fred Decker fan, as a Monster Squad fan... I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I've been disappointed by what I've been seeing, like, from a review standpoint. I was hoping, you know, I mean, Shane Black has had a modicum of success coming on as a director. I'm looking forward to it. I was unable to get to the movies at all. This week was just hellacious. I wanted to go yesterday.
Yeah.
But I'll see it this weekend.
It's not a terrible movie. No. I don't think it's as good as it could have been.
It's
still a great movie. Obviously, it is clouded slightly by the controversy this week, which Shane Black has apologized for. He said it was a bad decision on his point. Mm-hmm. He's apologized again. Obviously, it kind of tainted it at Toronto somewhat. But if you set that aside, the poor judgment, it doesn't affect the movie. It's better than the Alien versus Predator movies. And, you know,
that's fine. The last one, Jesus Christ, it's so dark.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just watching a dark screen. I'm like, what the hell's happening in this movie?
But it's looking at an opening of $29 million, so I think the controversy and I think the appeal and the reviews are going to affect that ever so slightly, so it's going to be slightly down. But it's not quite the absolute horror show that people have made it out to be.
I still want to see it.
It's worth checking out.
I want to see that in Simple Favor.
And do see it in an audience. Do see it in theaters. Really make the effort to do that. It's worth your $15. Okay, that's the end of the show. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Again, I know it's an hour. It goes so quickly. Really appreciate it. Dude. Guys, I'd like you to reintroduce, tell people who you are and where we can find you. Kit, first of all.
Kit Bowen, at The Movie Kit on Twitter, and follow my podcast on Screen Picks.
I can't believe you told me there's a mountain in The Predator.
There is.
My name is Dimitri Panos. I love movie fans. I'm here with on Popcorn Talks, Meet the Movie Press, and you can also see me on Anatomy of a Movie, where it's way above and beyond your typical movie review show. We dissect a movie in all of its parts.
Is that where the anatomy comes from?
That's where the anatomy comes from. Dissecting. Yep, that's it. Dissecting. We talk about the production, the writing, the music. We talk about everything, whether we like or dislike the movie. We give credit to the artistry as much as we possibly can.
It is an artist, and even artists do bad paintings sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is. Happy Time Murders. Try talking about
Don't
that.
Don't talk
movie.
About the Happy Woo-hoo. Time Murders. My name is Simon Thompson. I'm at Showbiz Simon on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook page. This is Simon Thompson. This has been Meet the Movie Press for September the 14th. Thank you so much indeed. Follow us on Twitter at Meet Movie Press. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, tell everybody you know who is listening to any word that you say that you like this show and they should watch it too. We really appreciate
it.
Thank you so much. Without you, there is no point in us being here every week. So thank you so much indeed. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. We will be back next week. Yes. Scott will be back and we're going to have Neil Turrets on the show next week as our special co-host, which is great. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend. And anybody on the East Coast, please be careful in the storms.
Yes.
We care about you. Don't do anything stupid. Don't be a hero. Help out where you can, but please stay safe. Thank
you
so much.
And wear your rubbers.
Have a good... What? And happy Halloween!
The entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.